Right now it is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. The Berkshire Edge can be found at theberkshireedge.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but also here on Wednesday mornings on Robinhood Radio. We say good morning to David and Marcy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. By the way, wasn't that rain pleasant last night? Finally.
And I know it's going to be hard for you to believe. Received over almost 3.5 inches at my house.
Good.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, it sounded like we might have received just the same. It pounded rain all night long. It was. And did we ever need it?
Boy, we did. And I
hope it comes more. I hope there's more.
We're gonna have a little more on Friday, and then a little more again on Monday. But we have about 9 or 10 inches to make up. So.
We've been noticing low water pressure at our house, and we're worried that our well is running out. So we were thrilled when it started to rain.
Yeah. Like I said, I live all alone, and yes, I do take 15 to 20 minute showers. But other than that, my water usage is very, very low because I use a lot of plastic plates living alone.
Okay.
All right.
That's not good.
I know. Let's go on to the stories.
And you don't wash them, right? You throw them out.
Landfill. Oh no, wash. Paper, plastic plates? I don't think so. Okay. We'll start off with an article that I was talking about from the Berkshire Edge earlier this week, and that is the Great Barrington Police investigating what they are classifying as a hate crime, and that is the defacement of the Macedonia Baptist Church, whose congregation is primarily black, but hate is hate. And it doesn't matter whether it's against the church, whether it's against Christians, Jews, blacks, Muslims. And it's just so sad to see this now creep in. And it's always been there, but there's almost like, and it happened last night, there's a free license to totally disrespect somebody else, ethnicity or religion. There's a free license given by the president.
You know, I'm afraid that's true, but I'm wondering whether whoever wrote this graffiti on this church building mistook it for, there is a little synagogue that is next to the fire station or across from the fire station, and maybe they got their buildings mixed up, but it's a little synagogue actually that I belong to, and that we belong to, and I'm just curious, you know.
Yeah, because it was clearly anti-Semitic what they wrote it, and they wrote it on a black church. And you wonder.
Yeah. Well, also
what that was all about.
We have to consider the option is maybe they're just plain stupid.
Well, that's
what I'm saying. Yes.
I'll say it in plain English. I'm not embarrassed to say it in plain English.
Well, they must be actually to do something like that.
It's just one of those stories that sticks in your craw. That's all. I just know it's senseless. And you do it in the middle of the night. It's not like you're even protesting on a march where you want people to see that you're protesting. It's got every underhanded, horrible aspect to it, done under the cover of night. And I hope they can find out who did it. I really do.
It sounds like the Ku Klux Klan, doesn't it?
It's just you wake up and you said, my God, we have to fight this fight all over again. It's amazing.
Here, of all places.
Yeah.
You know.
It's amazing. All right.
Well, it's interesting. Actually, last Saturday on the PBS NewsHour, there's a producer who grew up in West Stockbridge who produced a piece on racism in small communities, and he talked about the Berkshires. He actually used some footage from a video that we had shot, but it was very interesting. And I'm sure if anybody wants to go to the PBS NewsHour website, you can find it. It was called "Racism in Small Town America," but you know, it was a very sensitive conversation with black people in the Berkshires talking about what it's like to be black in an all-white community. And you know, so, and they talk about their form of, you know, of discrimination. And of course, this is, you know, you hope that in a small town where people can know each other, these kinds of things won't happen. But unfortunately, they do.
All right, I want to move on to your next story,
yes.
And it's
inspiring.
It is inspiring, and it turns the table around 180 degrees, and that is the community learning in the Berkshires at the Kellogg Conservation Center.
Yes, which they call CLUB, yep. CLUB, Community Learning Berkshires. but it is, David. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah. Well, it's. You know, our kids have been at home, and this is an attempt to give them some educational experiences through a Kellogg conservation area, which is it provides kids with some kind of supervised remote learning, and throughout the academic year, and that's you know, it's really inventive, and it's five organizations got together, the Berkshire South Regional Community Center, the Flying Cloud Institute, and the Nature Center, Greenagers, and Volunteers in Medicine. what a multi-generational collection.
Multicultural.
Yeah. And they... the Berkshire Music School was involved, and Multicultural Bridge, and Berkshire Pulse is a dance class, a dance instructional organization, and so it was quite a coalition to get kids some support for their remote learning, which is really difficult for a lot of these kids. So,
and this is really for kids who can't, you know, who are having trouble with remote learning, and they're actually beginning to work with children from immigrant families also, who you know,
yeah.
who need to learn English, and who are missing school this year. So that's the next round of students that they're going to be working with. So it's very interesting, and you know, Greenaid, it's on the gorgeous property that Greenagers bought on Route 41, south of South Egremont, that they are also farming. David and I went this summer to a kind of open house there where they showed us what they're doing at this farm, and it's phenomenal. They are, first of all, they have very little water in this property. I mean, it's got or irrigation, and so they are building gardens with minimal irrigation. They're also trying to protect vintage trees and vegetable plants so that they can experiment to see how some of these plants, especially plants that don't need much water, can survive in drought conditions, which and high heat, which we, you know, we're beginning to anticipate here. So it's a very exciting organization, Greenagers, and now they are using their property there for this club. So the instruction is going on there, it's a wonderful place for kids to come and learn.
Well, during the warmer months, anyways.
Yeah, right. Well, they do have some buildings, but I don't know what they'll do when it starts to get cold. Right now, they have the kids sitting outside. But we're all wondering what's going to happen to everything when we can't be outside anymore.
Yeah.
You know, remote
back on Zoom.
Right? Yeah. Well, remote learning is not a bad tool, but I think what we are finding out as the schools grapple with trying to put things together in the best way possible, is that unlike colleges where kids can go in, students can go in and tape lectures and things like that, if you take those tools that students learn at an early age, kindergarten through, I'll say, the eighth grade, to learn how to study, to learn how to work on your own, those are all the things that are missing with remote learning. And
those
are the things that we really have to work on. Because I tell you what, if you don't learn at an early age, it's almost impossible to teach when you're in your latter years of junior high school and then high school. You just don't have the ability to work on your own.
And why isn't the U.S. Department of Education, with all its resources, coming up with models that could be used locally?
Well, it's the whole thing. Why isn't there a national effort on so many levels with this?
Right.
But that's a question that obviously is never going to be answered for the time being. And so the school districts have it upon themselves.
Each one has to invent its own wheel.
And right. but then you have programs like this, which are outside programs, which help.
Oh yes, absolutely. But, and also it's a question of kids being with each other.
Yeah. It's
there also this socializing aspect of socialization aspect of being in school and having friends and playing in the playground. That these kids are missing out on.
It's a great story about the Kellogg Conservation Center,
right.
And it's an uplifting story. Yes. Now, some other uplifting stuff. Go on.
Yeah, no. I was just going to say that we also have, day after day we have lists of things that are actually going on.
Yeah, I know. It's nice to get back into that. It really is.
It's amazing how creative people have been. So, we have a story. And we do this every day. We have a bits and bytes column where we just list all the things that are happening in the Berkshires and the people. And so, we have, for example, from this week, the Berkshire Botanical Garden, which always has a wonderful harvest festival in October, has now reimagined it and is going to have a month-long celebration featuring children's activities. Some live and some online. And then we have also...
they're having the great, incredible pumpkin show.
Right. A botanical Halloween, they're calling it, with pumpkin painting and Halloween themes and kids coming in costume. So tonight, actually, the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute has a... an online conversation with Maya Cummings, who is the widow of her late husband, Representative Elijah Cummings, talking about "We're Better Than This: My Fight for the Future of Democracy." So she'll be in conversation with Will Singleton, who is an OLLI board member and past president of the Berkshire County branch of the NAACP. Then we have a film on Friday that's also on Zoom or online. The Community Development Commission of South Berkshire is running a film by a local photographer called Gregory Crutzen about how he makes his film. He's not a filmmaker, but he's a photographer. He does very interesting photos about Berkshire County. Then Noam Keg is having its incredible pumpkin show.
1,500.
Excuse me?
1,500. My God.
1,500? Oh, yeah, there are 1,500 events. Oh, 1,500 jack-o'-lanterns.
Pumpkins.
Yeah.
Pumpkins.
Oh, yes. Well, Noam Keg does this kind of thing, because they have daffodils in the spring and pumpkins, and then at Christmas time they have lights. Thousands and thousands of lights all over their property, and it's gorgeous. People are being extremely inventive and trying very hard to keep going.
But don't go to the pumpkin show after you've gone to Theory Wellness.
Who knows, could
be a kind of freaky experience.
Yes, but they will have 1,500 jack-o'-lanterns, light displays, and autumn surprises.
That's amazing.
Spread across Noam Keg's 8 acres of designed landscape.
I still have people come to me and say, "What the hell is Noam Keg?" And I say, "Well, it's really hard to describe it in one word. They have so many different events that are free. go and just experience it, and then and you'll know, because unless you've seen it, it's hard to put it into proper words, really.
Yeah, well, it was the home of Ambassador Joseph Choate. He was more than, before he was an ambassador, I think he was a very successful businessman. But he had this as his summer cottage with gorgeous land. And it's been taken over by the trustees of reservation, who are maintaining the beautiful gardens and also the interesting house. And it's usually open for tours inside and out, but I think right now they're only doing the land. And actually, there are tickets. You have to buy tickets for this, and the tickets are between $5 and $25, and they have to be pre-purchased online. But I've been to the other Nam Cake shows, the lights and the daffodils, and they're spectacular.
Yeah, that's all you can say about it. It's hard to explain.
Yeah. They're spectacular. You walk into a magical kind of environment.
It also overlooks the village of Stockbridge. It's on the hill above. It's on the hillside above Stockbridge, and it's quite a perspective of the village below, and then the Monument Mountain in the distance, and it's quite a beautiful sight. Actually.
All right, now with the Governor Baker announcing that, and I know there's a lot of sighs of relief in Berkshire County. Really, 250 people can attend 50% and stuff like that. We're
right.
Getting back in it, but you've got a nice article about a film, and the actors came back. All this comes out at a good time.
Oh, this is a great film, and it's streaming on The Edge, and we really encourage people to look for it.
Yep.
It's called, the article is called The Actors Came Back. And we had sometime in the spring, we had a poem by Michael Brady, who's a local playwright, called And the Actors Came Back. And it's about how historically, no matter what happens, art survives and the actors do come back. And then we have another local filmmaker, Tim Newman, who is quite an accomplished filmmaker who moved to the Berkshires from California. And he has done a really wonderful short film with, top Berkshire-based actors acting out the poem. And it's really terrific. It's very inspiring.
And he has not only actors, but he has the leaders of the cultural institutions. And they have... He includes an interview with Yo-Yo Ma, for instance.
And another wonderful cellist named Owen Young from the Boston Symphony, who plays the cello in the film. It's very moving, really, and it's there to listen to or to watch for free on the Berkshire Edge. You just click on it and it starts to run right on our site.
Yep.
So, and it's not, it's Berkshire-based, but it's in for anybody. So, and beautifully, beautifully shot, beautifully acted. The actress Karen Allen is in it, Joe Thompson from Mass Mocha, Pam Taggi, who had Jacob's Pillow, Kelly Vickery from the Berkshire International Film Festival, Julianne Boyd from Barrington Stage. He really got them all. And it's terrific. I have somebody from the Mahawi, I think Janice...
Martinson
from the Mahawi is featured, so it's really something to watch.
All right, and like I said, you coincide being able to see this film along with what Governor Baker is opening up in Massachusetts, and there is some light at the end of the tunnel. We've been lucky here in Sharon. The Sharon Playhouse has just done an outstanding job over the past 2 months providing entertainment and keeping people involved and active and raising funds for the movie house and stuff. So we've been very lucky here. But still, everybody has been just devastated by the lack of entertainment and things to do, which in our normally huge, very, very, very busy summer and into fall season. So,
it's what sustains, the
economy.
This economy for the cold winter months.
I mean, we make it in the summer in order to survive the winter, and now we have nobody's nobody's made it in the summer.
So it's going to it's going to be interesting. Now, I want to go on to your next story, and that is the toxic PCB contamination. Once again, still has. I mean, plans are always announced, but it seems it's never really resolved.
Oh, well, this is, you know, of course, the river was contaminated with, you know, the cancer-producing PCBs
by
General Electric in Pittsfield for years and years and years, and millions of pounds of this substance were dumped into the river, and it's taken years to clean it up, and I must say, you know, it's been hugely expensive for General Electric. They were found that they were forced to spend you know, like $500 million to clean up the river, so that it's, you know, people can enjoy the river, you know, so they can eat, so they can go fishing there or swimming, which they've not been able to do for what, since the 1930s. So this is a huge environmental project that is proceeding here, and it's, by the way, you know, that PCP contamination was dumped into the river in Pittsfield, and it contaminated the river all the way down through Connecticut. So you guys are benefiting down in Connecticut too from this removal of PCBs from you know, the riverbank and the riverbed.
Well, the whole thing about the whole thing about PCBs, once you put them in a river like the Housatonic, well, the Housatonic flows right down to the Long Island Sound. So, you know what?
Right.
PCBs don't ever go away, really. So, I mean, this is a Berkshire story, but it's a story about the whole river, as a matter of fact.
And about industrial contamination in general, too.
Well, and also, I mean, it's about the environmental policy of the country, where now, you know, Trump's EPA is making it easier for people to dump and contaminate water without penalty.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been living with this for 20 years or more, but, you know, it's just going to get worse. I mean, and where do, you know, I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Well, we have about 2 minutes left, and on that, we can go back to filling our water bottles again.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Great, Barrington. We have some real environmental activists, they put up some water stations in downtown Great Barrington where you can fill up your water bottle instead of, you know, buying a plastic bottle. Water in a plastic bottle and just throwing it away. So we have a particular activist, Karen Smith, who has really gotten. There are these water filling stations, one of them right in front of Town Hall. So it's called GB on Tap.
Yes, right, and this is you know, because we outlawed single-use water bottles, so now you can bring your own, and you can actually buy from this group a metal bottle that says GB on tap, and you can fill it up all over town. Guido's has a filling station. I think a couple of stores downtown have filling stations, so you can just go in and no obligation to buy. You can fill your water bottle around town. It's terrific.
Yep, this is a project of the Berkshire Women's Action Group.
Right.
And watch out for them, boy. They are.
But the other thing that David didn't put on his list, which I want to mention, is the Great Barrington Police Department has inducted its first canine officer.
Yeah, I saw that. It's a great. I think it's a great idea.
So I think that's of interest. What's his name? The officer has the name. He's Officer somebody. I can't find the article right now. Oh, yes, here he is. He's a police therapy canine.
Right.
And his name is Officer Biko, B-E-K-O.
All right. Well, let's hear it for Officer Biko. I think it's a great idea. All right, the Berkshire Edge. Guys, we'll speak to you again next week.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Look forward to it. Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
TheBerkshireEdge.com is where you'll find them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.